For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Welcome to the Believe in Hornets podcast on the Belief Podcast Network. My name is Sam. That's an ambulance. And my co-host Muggsy Bogues is here with me. Muggsy, how are you?
I'm good, partner. I always got to toast you for to get this thing started. I'm doing wonderful. Doing wonderful, man. It's been, you know, great time just sitting back, relaxing, watching some of these wonderful games that took place and a lot of things, you know, transpire over the week. So I'm quite sure you got lots to talk about.
Oh, yeah. We have a jam-packed show for everyone this evening or this morning, this afternoon, whenever you listen to this. We had a very, very, very big NBA trade go down, not involving the Hornets, but I know it's Believe in Hornets is the name of the podcast, but still an NBA show at the end of the day. So we got to talk about the James Harden deal to send him from Houston to Brooklyn, which is just
major.
That team is insane. We also had some unfortunate news with the Hornets' schedule. Mm-hmm. Their game against the Wizards is postponed because of COVID. Wizards down to 6 healthy players. So that game will be played at a later date. So
the nature of the business so far.
Yeah. And I think they play again Friday now against the Bulls. Is that right? Yeah, Friday.
You're correct. Yes.
So a little extra break for the guys after the Raptors miniseries, which gives them some time to work on some things because the team's on a 3-game losing streak. So hopefully they can come out of that with this little down period. I think there's some talk about Borrego having a live practice tonight so they can work on a few things. So that's that's a positive, I guess. But let's get the Nets stuff out of the way because that is the biggest thing that happened. We have another super team in the NBA. I think that's fair to say. The Nets are already kind of a super team with KD and Kyrie there. They added James Harden. Muggsy, how do you feel about that trio? Like, and their potential, what kind of damage they can do in the Eastern Conference.
I mean, that's a major trio right there. I mean, I think Brooklyn, Sean Marks, who I play with in Toronto, has done an amazing job acquiring these type of this type of talent. I mean, here it is. You had Durant as well as Kyrie at the beginning. And then here you have an opportunity to bring in a guy like James Harden, MVP, All-Star. Gold medalist champion. So with the IQ level that he brings to the table, it's just off the charts. But I think it was more of an insurance policy. I think with all the things that was going on with Kyrie, not being there, not being, you know, known where he was, I think that was more of an insurance policy. But I think now that with Kyrie, you know, as smart as he is, understanding what they have, quite sure he's going to buy in and understand that the dynamic players that they have is potentially going to win a championship to bring to Brooklyn.
Yeah. So what, how do you see that working out? Like we have like Durant, we've seen him adapt with the Warriors, you know, taking a lesser role, taking fewer shots. I'm not like as a novice, I have no concerns about Durant figuring it out. But when you have Kyrie Irving and James Harden, both guys who love having the ball. Yeah. You know, like how do you manage that? Those guys haven't played together. They don't have the rapport that Harden and Durant have. So I have no concerns about those two together. But what do you think about that and the job Steve Kerr and D'Antoni have ahead of them, trying to make sure everyone gets is happy and they're winning games.
Well, Coach Steve Nash, first year, you know, this is the challenge that he's going to be, you know, be faced with. But I'm quite sure, you know, with his experience of as a player with Coach D'Antoni, you know, be on his coaching staff, they have been through this before. They understand how to coach talent and how to have the rapport to those type of players. And that's one of the reasons I'm quite sure that Steve Nash got the job because of Kevin Durant and Kyrie, you know, signed off on it. And which not even having any coaching experience and being able to, you know, acquire a job like that, your star players have to sign off on something like that. So, you know, with that being said, I think now you got to look at them being considered coming out of the East for sure. With the style of play, they capable of, you know, putting up a lot of points, especially being in the system with D'Antoni and Steve Nash, understanding that type of system. So you've seen what they capable of doing without Kyrie Irving. And then adding Kyrie Irving, I mean, that's going to be a scary challenge for everybody, you know, night in and night out to face the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, it doesn't exactly make things easier for the Hornets.
No.
I'm glad we got that game out of the way before they got James Harden, because I wouldn't want to play them right now. I'm not sure where that.
It's only one, though.
Yeah. So bullet dodged.
Yeah.
On that front. Part of that trade could be beneficial for the Hornets franchise. They sent Jaren Allen to Houston, who then flipped him to Cleveland. Like, it was a lot of moving pieces. But at the end of the day, the Cleveland Cavaliers have a lot of big men now. And they have Andre Drummond, who...
on his one-year contract, last year of his contract, I believe.
Yeah, so there could be some trade possibilities there with the Hornets if the Cavaliers are looking to flip Drummond for a few assets. And the Hornets have some things to offer in the trade market if they want to go down that route. So there could be some positive ramifications for the franchise if Cleveland wants to play ball, let's say.
Yeah, and you know, I like Allen.
Yes.
You know, as opposed to Drummond, even though I like Drummond, but I think a young guy like Allen, who's athletic, who's promising now, who's showing a lot of potential, I think coming in with the young guys that we have, it just really adds on to the, again, the potential growth of what Mitch Kupchak can really put together. So if that's available, I'm quite sure they're looking to see if that's a possibility to make, you know, the roster even better. I'm quite sure they got their pulse on that. So you never know what's going on behind the scenes. They know the pieces that they need, especially being with Cody being injury prone, I should say. Being out for on multiple years. So I'm quite sure they've been looking forward to see if a player like that is available. And if so, I'm quite sure they'll try to acquire, make a move and offer them whatever they can to acquire a player like an Allen or a Drummond.
Mm-hmm. Because watching that Raptors, like those back-to-back games and Chris Boucher, what he did to the Hornets, I was like, yo, we need to sign him. We need some help. Like, I love Biz, but... Boucher was doing whatever he wanted to do, pretty much. And then even at the one point, he had five fouls, and he still was able to do whatever he wanted to do against the Hornets. So, like, that position needs some fortifying if the Hornets have any, I think, real playoff aspirations.
Yeah, not taking anything away from Biz. I mean, Biz really compete as an undersized center. He really goes in and give it his all. But we need a rim protector. I mean, we definitely need a rim protector in order to, you know, get into those up-tempo type of possessions. And I think we got one of the best point guards who's willing to share the basketball, is willing to get the ball up the court, either dribbling or passing. And that can lead to excitement. And that's what we have right now. A lot of excitement going on with the Hornets. And hopefully that can continue to translate to wins.
Yeah. So, you know, the Hornets are missing out on the opportunity to kind of like make up for what happened. Like, they have to wait an extra few days before they play again on Friday. I want to talk a little bit about the COVID postponement. Obviously, players' health and safety comes first. This is the first time the Hornets have been impacted by it. It's on the Wizards side of things. They've had players and staff, I guess, through contact tracing, or I'm not sure if they have it or they came in contact with someone who had it. Mm-hmm. That's besides the point. But like, how would you approach this, I guess, as a player? You have an unexpected break here, coming off a bad stretch, and you have some more time, I guess, to think about things and prepare, I guess, to kind of right the ship. Does it help? Does it hurt having this extra time off? Are you eager to like get back in the gym and like work on things and like get the monkey off your back, so to speak?
Well, normally after you come off a loss, you want to get right back out there and try to correct that and erase that type of memory. But in this case, you know, it's the situation. It is what it is. And they understand that it's going to be like this throughout the season until they get pretty much their arms around it, until we get the vaccines and so on, everybody vaccinated. But this is what the players and the organization got to be prepared for. And luckily that they was down in Tampa when they got the news. Hopefully they spent a little more time in the Sunshine State down there preparing and practicing for this upcoming game on Friday. But they're probably home right now. But it just gave coaching staff a little more time to prepare and get the players a little more time to kind of, you know, get their legs back underneath them. Some of the guys who have little knick-knack injuries, you know, take care of that before they get back on the court. Because, again, it's still early in the season. Still got a long season to go. And I want to make sure that everybody is as nearly near healthy as possible before they take the floor.
Almost definitely. No one wants to see these players in any danger or any serious risk. Because that the stuff is scary. Like, you know, we don't really know what the stuff does to you quite yet. So let's go back to basketball for a few here. We have the games since we last recorded included the Mavericks game where Luka and Porzingis
a revenge
just,
game. Yeah.
Man, I really wish Porzingis came back the game after. It's been a while since I've like watched him play basketball because he's been out. The Hornets don't play the Mavericks all the time. So it was a nice reminder, like, oh, Porzingis is nice. He brings a lot. And Luka is the Luka we all expected to see. Way different than the Luka we saw earlier in the season. Do you have any takeaways, I guess, from that Mavericks game that you want to get into?
Well, I knew that was going to be a tough game for the team, even though we was playing at home. But it was a revenge game for the Mavericks. You know, they felt like, you know, they didn't play their best basketball at home. Felt like the Hornets came in there and stole a game from them. But, you know, you got to get credit to where credit is due. The Hornets really came in and played some inspiring basketball. A lot of guys really stepped up, shared the basketball. I believe you had like five guys in double figures. And that was something that really that got their confidence going, which started the momentum in terms of creating those four games winning streak. So I was kind of, you know, pleased to see that happen in Dallas. But when they came home to face them again, you knew it was going to be a challenge because, you know, it was a revenge game. Porzingis' first game back. Coach Carlisle was an excellent coach, and he wasn't going to let his team to, you know, go 0-2 against an Eastern Conference team, especially when you feel like you're better than those teams, when you have more talent than the team, or more experience, I should say. But, you know, our guys are really starting to build this chemistry with one another, and that's what I'm liking. You know, the chemistry with Miles and LaMelo coming off the bench, Hayward's continuing to showcase his opportunities when he get up and create opportunities for himself as well as for his teammates. And PJ, you know, PJ is starting to really, you know, increase his scoring potential, his scoring opportunities, and believe that he is capable of putting in big numbers on both ends, you know, rebounding as well as on the scoring wise. And Miles, you know, enough is said about his electrified dunks that he gets when he comes in the game and really energize the team. And of course, it all spearheaded by Melo when he comes in with him.
And you mentioned Gordon Hayward. In this game, he left it with an injury, a hip injury. Going into the Raptors game, it seemed like that day he was probable and then got downgraded to out. You get into the game, Caleb got his first start of the year, which I think he played pretty well, all things considered. But it was really evident how much value Gordon Hayward has to the team. Like, especially because this game was getting close. It ended close. The Raptors, in both games, just shot an insane amount of threes. Both games are really hard. Yeah. They got really hot. Not having Hayward for this one, what did that tell you about what he brings to the team? Because as a fan, like, I was sitting there like, man, We need Hayward's defense. We need his creativity. We need his scoring ability. Like, he brings so much to the table. Yeah.
Yeah, but his leadership more so than anything, you know, because that he leads by example. You know, he's not the rah-rah type of guy. He leads by example, by play. And that's what the guys feed off of. And not having him for that first game back after, you know, being doubtful after that Dallas game. You know, but you give credit to Caleb. He came in and as you alluded to, he did a pretty decent job. And they was in the game, you know, it was a lot up. You know, the score was kind of lopsided up and down, you know, based on runs. But come down to the end of it, you know, they was right there in it. You know, he's going crazy on that. Okay, what come on up? What's up?
What do you got there?
That's Brittany's, my daughter's dog. That she know need to come and get. That she, Brittany, I have no clue why she, yeah. There we go, we got out. But as I was saying, that you know, Caleb came and did a great job, and they was in the game. You know, they was in the game all the way down to the end of it. But Hayward, he just brings so much to the table, and in terms of again leadership, his creativity. When it comes down to who needs a bucket, we know where that ball is going, but it starts there, but it may not end there. So he brings a lot to the table. And I'm just so, you know, happy that we got a player of his magnitude because it really helps the young guys going forward.
Yeah, that next game when he came back healthy, I think before the game, Borrego said if he starts, he's playing. Like, we're not babying him. Like, he's in it. And when I saw the tweet about starting five, Hayward was back. I was like, yes. And I think he was perfect from the floor in the first half. Like, he shot the ball very efficiently. Throughout the game, he ended the second game in the series with 25 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. Like, I was like, oh man, I'm so glad he's back. I'm so glad he's back with us.
Yeah, it was a close game too. You know, came down to the wire. You know, I think Rozier got fouled there, but
yes,
you know, who's the, you know, referees saw a little differently. But that's what you need. You know, the game, the guys are in the games. You know, they're not getting blown out or anything. They're pretty much in these games. Even though with 2 games now under 500, it's still, you know, seems though we have an opportunity to really right the ship. As long as we stay healthy, we, you know, as you mentioned, we got a game that's postponed Wednesday, you know, with Washington. That was a game that we was looking forward to counting as a check on the on the calendar. So now we get ready for that game Friday, which we can hopefully we can put another check on that. But, you know, they coming off a big win after the other day. Bulls, that is.
Yeah. And just to give everyone an idea of how crucial, I guess, getting some wins here are. Because we have the Bulls, the Magic twice, and then it gets crazy. The Pacers, Bucks, Heat, Sixers, Jazz, Blazers. It gets real tough real quick. So getting positive results out of these next few games will be potentially season breaking or season making if they go one way or the other. So knocking on wood for those.
And it's important for a young team. You know, that's what young teams do. They try to get out early, try to, you know, get those wins built up, because a lot of veteran teams normally understand, you know, how to continue to put wins. But we know at a certain point of the schedule, some point of time, you know, they start to accumulate those wins more than none. And that's why them younger teams, like a Hornets, I should say, we young, we're mixed in with some veterans, need to continue to stay in the hunt, you know, stay right down, not drop below. Because, you know, this thing, anything can happen on any given night.
Yep. And the Hornets are capable of a lot, which is great to see, because That's the whole point of sports, not knowing what's going to happen. Nothing's scripted. You know, nothing's pre-planned. We're here to enjoy it. Hopefully the best team wins. You know, there could be variables in there. But anyway, I don't digress.
Right. We got some quality wins in there, too. We got some really quality wins in there. And that's what I like. You know, it's cool.
Yeah, so I think that's everything we wanted to get into from a basketball point of view. I think it's a good time to address some questions I've been getting from about Muggsy Bogues that aren't basketball related, but a different sport.
Okay.
Another passion from Mr. Bogues. Muggsy's wrestling past and passion. So Muggsy, break it down for everybody out there who's not familiar. Tell us about your amateur wrestling background.
Well, you know, this is not the WWE type of wrestling. You know, none of that. This was more that NCAA type of competitiveness that we took place in the gym. You know, as a kid, you know, that was a sport that I really gravitated towards. It was a sport that didn't have any type of criteria of terms of your height. So, you know, that wasn't something that I had to deal with. It was more or less if you're fast, if you're quick, you know, and if you were strong enough to compete against your opponent. And I was all of that. And, you know, age of 10, 11, 12, 13, for all the way up until the high school, you know, I wrestled, but I had to stop once the basketball season took place because it was the same season. You know, and I recall I used to wear all my little pins on my little sleeves. You know, I had like my little pins, put them on my sleeve that indicated how many pins that I had. And, but I really enjoyed that sport, man. That was such a great confidence builder for me because it gave me opportunity to know that I can compete with anything or who with anyone that I set my mind to it. And in the wrestling arena, you know, that's what I kind of trained for. And I was very successful with it. You know, my recreation coach told me and wanted me to kind of pursue that as a career in terms of going to college to get an education, get a scholarship. But, you know, I told him I had different plans and to get into college and, you know, but he didn't believe that until it actually happened. So I always kind of kid him about that.
And did you have to cut weight at all? Or were your nose, your natural weight, your target like weight class?
Yeah, I remember one time I was 5 pounds overweight, believe it or not, at 70, but I was 75 pounds. I need to drop down to 70. And that was crazy at that time. And, you know, you had to have your little hurricane suit on, the little gray sweatsuit, and I'm in there in the gym sweating. And, you know, but it didn't took but a second for me to lose the weight. I think that plastic suit really did its job. And and I got down to my weight class and I made my weight and I was able to compete into my class, my tournament. And I was successful at it.
Yeah. Cause that sport, it's a lifestyle. Cause I played baseball and football growing up and some of my best friends were on the wrestling team. And when it was wrestling season, that was a 24-hour commitment. Like, especially during lunchtime, watching my friends like eat vitamins and drink water. That was their lunch, trying to drop weight and stay in weight. Like, that was commitment unlike any other sport I've seen at that level. So, anyone that does any amateur wrestling deserves all the credit in the world because you're a different breed. You're a tough individual to have to do that.
Tell you, man, you called me kid with 1,000 moves. You know, I stood out there, Sugarfoot, gimmick, tapped the little head guard, you know, and then I shoot and scoop him.
Yeah.
And I put him in a half Nelson, in a little cradle. But that was fun. That was fun. I really enjoyed that. You brought back some memory right there. Got excited.
Cool. No, yeah. I'm glad we can reminisce a little bit. Awesome. Well, I appreciate everyone that's come through and checked out this week's episode. Muggsy, before we say goodbye to the people, is there anything else you'd like to get into?
Well, I mean, you pretty much covered a lot. And I think we're excited to see a president, you know, about to be inducted. A lot of things have changed. So a lot of things have happened in the world. So I'm just excited to be here, to be blessed, and be here with you, my brother.
Hey, I appreciate you as well. And I appreciate everyone that's checked out the Believe in Hornets podcast on the Believe Podcast Network is the name of our network. It's a long day. We record these right after I get off work, so still trying to
yeah.
Still trying to decompress a little bit.
I'm with you. I got you. I'm with you.
Cool. Well, everyone out there, stay safe and peace.
Peace.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.